Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Six cars. That's what I've seen, six cars. I don't know what it is about the cold weather that makes me just actually want to, you know, eat more ice cream. Like, I don't crave ice cream in the summer, but in the wintertime when it's cold, I'm a sicko. I'll lick the damn inside of a McFlurry cup, you know?
In the wintertime?
I don't know what it is. It doesn't melt.
Had my daughter's birthday over the weekend.
Oh?
Wanted an ice cream cake. Fine.
Oh, you got to let those things sit out for like 9 hours.
Well, okay.
Otherwise, you're going to have like, carpal tunnel trying to
cut
it.
So yeah, a little bit. Yep. Got to get a hot knife, you know, and put it in water and whatever. Fine. My wife puts it away in the refrigerator instead of the freezer.
Oh. Oh, so now it's yogurt.
Yeah.
Or no, now it's gone.
No, it's in the trash.
Exactly. Well, I didn't know.
Damn it. I mean, what do you mean? What did you put in the refrigerator for? Oh, I didn't. You are going to be 50 in 25 days.
Mm.
We don't store ice cream cake in the refrigerator. I remember when we first started dating, her and I tiled our floor in my house over in Brookside. Like, literally, like, our first year of dating, she's, like, laying tile. This is how great she is. And she falls outside, like, misses a step. I go, you're 30. 30-year-olds don't fall. Now I just said, you're 50. 50. I'm like, oh, my God.
Whoa.
20
crazy.
Years.
Yeah,
like,
that's
wow.
Wild.
Just, like, that is gone, you know?
I'm sure you have a big 50th bash planned for her.
No,
I don't. No.
It was supposed to be Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I'm sorry. You're going to have to go this year now.
We got to wait next year.
Yeah. To the end of the year, you'll get your 50th birthday party. No, there's no big 50th bash. She just wants to go out to dinner like every month or something like that. I mean, it's whatever. It's her birthday. She does whatever she wants. And
let's have her in the studio and give her a birthday party.
Yeah. We could do that on the 25th. What day is that? Is that a Saturday or something?
See, 25th is a Saturday.
Yes, so we can't.
So we can do it on the 24th.
The Friday, the 24th?
Yeah. Have her on during Mitch Holtis, and she can ask Mitch some questions about the game.
Because
that's what, the AFC Championship game?
That's AFC Championship game weekend.
No, that'd be the divisional round.
No, divisional round.
18th and 19th.
Yeah.
And then,
That would be.
Yeah, championship game weekend. Yeah.
Get your questions ready.
Did you consider Brett for Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out?
New Year,
say that. Damn fool.
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Just because you guys aren't seeing a lot of traffic doesn't mean there isn't any. 435 is pretty heavy. So college football this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of people are upset. You know, Alabama, Michigan, what happened in that game? Not a lot of people for Alabama's team played. I know Milroe threw it like 36 times.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan took care of business, right?
A lot of people didn't play for Michigan either.
Correct. So
That's
where you run into this. I saw somewhere Dion said they took like a player's insurance out, so in case they do get
smart.
Hurt. Because there was
smart.
That kid for LSU. That was sad to see. Snapped his leg, carted off in a boot, and his brother like was out there. And then like, I think it was LSU. Was it LSU?
I think so.
Did you read the Jake Butt story over the weekend where he talked about playing
in the Michigan tight end?
And he talked about playing in that game and how much it cost him his life.
No, I'm sure.
I mean, just cost him his life because of the injury and the money and never being an NFL player. I'm like, if you're a player, how do you play in one of these bowl games? That means absolutely nothing. You know, when you got your whole career ahead of you, I don't blame players at all for not playing in these games.
No, it's fine. I mean, it depends on the severity of the game, right? Like, I mean,
yes, the CarQuest Bowl on Tuesday, December 24th, not that interesting. Playing in the college football playoff where a chance to win a championship, okay, that's a different conversation.
The only story where I've seen it hasn't ruined somebody would probably be like Jameson Williams. Like, he blew his ACL in that game for Alabama and was out for the entire year. Detroit still drafted him in the first round, and then he actually became who he is.
Yeah.
He's going to stay out of trouble a little bit more often than not, but, like, he's clearly fine after that. But that's, like, one of, like...
Was it Marshawn Lynch that blew his ACL and Buffalo still drafted him and he missed that first year?
I don't think so.
Or was it there was somebody else? Who's
there was
the guy
Willis McGahee.
McGahee, that's who it was.
That was in the Miami-Ohio State game,
and
that was a brutal injury. But college football... Okay. We were talking to Ben Maller about it. And I think the thing that's crazy is that this is exactly what we wanted. And we'll have Alex Golden here in about an hour. He was hot on Saturday, or on New Year's Eve. He was just hot. Boise State guy, obviously, likes that, whatever. Mm-hmm. And everybody was, you know, doing their complaining about, oh, this and that. I think they have the system right, minus one thing. I think next year they will go through and say, just because you won your conference doesn't necessarily give you that bye in the second round.
I mean, a 13-0 team winning the Big Ten should not get a bye.
But that's okay. That's not where we're at. We're talking about teams like Arizona State and Boise State.
Yeah.
Because Texas, in my opinion, is in fact better than those two teams. They're better than SMU. They're better than a lot of those teams. And SMU got in. A lot of people didn't agree. Indiana got in. A lot of people didn't agree with that because they're like, oh, well, whatever. And then everybody's like, well, you wanted Alabama to get in. Well, the argument there is if Alabama did get in, their starters would have played. Like, I don't think they would have sat out if
they
had a
chance. Who would you have kept out if Alabama went in?
I would have taken Indiana out.
Okay,
I would have taken Indiana out, or I'd have taken SMU out.
SMU, I'm fine with that.
Or Clemson.
Fine with that, too. Yeah.
Like, that's where I think that's it. But that's the system of we have to reevaluate who get, but it's more so like I don't think Arizona winning the Big 12 deserves getting a bye week because they won that conference. Because if you look at the SEC and the Big 10 arguments is why these teams were wherever, and like Texas is what, a 3-loss team in the SEC, but they clearly are probably the favorite to win outside of Ohio State. Now Ohio State didn't win the Big 10, so again that fits, right? Mm-hmm. Oregon deserved it. They're the best team in the entire land. And then you add these teams in now, and it's like, did Arizona State winning that? Because, like, if we go look at college basketball, we look at the main thing when the tournament is, it's RPI, right? Well, KU played a bunch of teams there in the Big 12, so, like, these teams get a higher seed because they went through a tougher route. It didn't happen in football, and I know this is the first year, and they will make a change, and I know some of you will have opinions and be like, oh, so you're just not rewarded for winning your conference? College is different, right? And that's, you know, that's just where I'm at, because I would have, again, there's always blowouts in college football, but there's been two decent games in the college football playoffs.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Binkley about this yesterday because I'm like, boy, the college football playoff, while I love it on the surface, right? Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it on the surface. Obviously the games haven't been that good. So I was talking to Binkley about that yesterday, and you know how he is with college football, right? Mm-hmm. If there's something you need, you call Jay Binkley when it comes to college football. And I don't want to say he pulled a thanks coach on me, but he actually gave me some really good information about college football that I didn't know. He said, this is nothing new in college football. He goes, some handle long delays well, some don't. Coaching is so big in the playoffs. He says, don't forget when college football had a 4-team playoff for the last 10 years, and I'm interested to see Max's facial reaction on this one, so get over to the microphone for a second.
Come on.
For the last 10 years, the average margin of playoff victory was 18 points.
Wow.
So, right? Wow is right.
Gosh.
So these blowouts in these college football playoff games are nothing new.
Wow.
And even with a 4-team playoff, when you're supposed to get the best four mm-hmm. games, best four teams over the last 10 years, the average margin of victory has been 18 points. That's amazing to me. I was like, whoa, like floored by that.
That's crazy.
Floored by that. We think this is an anomaly this year. Like all these teams are getting blown out and mm-hmm. whatnot. And Binkley's like, no, that's not the case. For the last decade, the average margin of victory has been 18 points in these playoff games.
So that would completely debunk the argument that, oh, 12 is too many. This was happening
That's what I'm saying, with the four best
wow.
teams. I mean, nobody forgets TCU getting housed.
Of course. Notre Dame multiple times.
17 or whatever it was. And, you know, Notre Dame's been, you know, had their breaks beat in a lot. So
national championship game with Taya was when they got, it was like, 42-0 at halftime?
Turned it off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It was bad.
But, I mean, so this is something I was stunned by it. Like, I was so, like, elated that Jay texted me this information because I'm like, God, these games are bad. He goes, no, this is par for the course. So how do you fix
yeah,
that?
Exactly. Yep.
So there's no answer for
the
that.
The one thing I can say with that is, like, do you think that this is one of those things where, like, they're, I don't know, like, hoping that the Final Four game, the Final Four in college football will be electric? Because I'll tell you what, I think a lot of people would have loved to have been like, you know what? Ohio State, Oregon, make that the national championship.
Right.
Thank God it wasn't.
Yeah.
Right? Because that game yesterday was just, it was
over.
It was gone.
It was over.
The Rose Bowl was over before it started.
Right.
Like, I remember watching the overtime game of Arizona State and Texas, and I was like, all right, that game was awesome. That's what we want. Let's get right into this Oregon-Ohio State game. They flipped over with 7-0.
So when, when did you join that game?
After the overtime win.
Okay, so when I turned that game on, okay, there were 14 minutes to go in the first quarter, and it was already 7-0.
Correct.
I'm like, damn.
Because Ohio State is wide receiver U.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, those kids, they've got a receiver nuts. And that running back they have is going to be a stud.
I saw someone was like, would
Henderson or whatever his name is?
Travion Henderson. Yeah. Would you spend a top 10 pick this year to get Jeremiah Smith, but even though he won't play on your team until 2027?
Look, I've discussed this over the years. I would absolutely be willing to take a future pick on a guy. Like, if you were to draft Smith today, you don't get him for the next 2 years. You sacrifice your pick this year, but you have the rights to him in 2 years. So, like, at 32 this year, the Chiefs could take Smith knowing they don't need anybody per se this year. There's nobody really worth taking. Now, you have to sacrifice your first-round pick to do this. Like, you can do this in the third round or say, I'm going to take the – but if you were willing to sacrifice your first-round pick this year for a guy to have the rights to him in 2 years,
I think it'd
be wild.
That'd be fun.
Be wild to do something like that. But nobody wants to do that because as good as Smith has been, what if he falls off a cliff?
Exactly.
What, you know, people don't want to, you know, invest and, you know, wait 2 years for somebody like that. But I mean, we're seeing in college football exactly what we see in the NFL. The big brands are moving on. That targeting penalty that was not called yesterday game. Terrible, terrible, terrible call. But you know what? Texas is a bigger brand than Arizona State.
Stop.
What brings more eyeballs? What brings more people to the TV? It's the University of Texas. It is not Arizona State. Texas is that brand. They had the opportunity to make that call and do it the right way, and they let Texas hang around. And they gave Texas the opportunity. That call gets made the proper way. Arizona State wins that game, and luster falls off the college football playoff because it's not Texas. Texas is the Yankees, the Chiefs, the big-name brands that everybody's going to watch. Texas is a team that people either love or they hate. There's no middle ground with Texas. You either love or hate them. And yesterday, that targeting penalty, man, the script is alive and well in college football.
Nate Taylor will join us here in about 10 minutes. Mac's going to get pissed because I'm going to bring him up because the Pro Bowl selections are in.
Uh-oh, are they really?
And someone got snubbed in the NFC at quarterback. We'll explain who that is on the other side. And Mac will be absolutely pissed. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, and Mac Morey with you. Damn glad to be back. I was going stir crazy. Even though we were here Monday, it didn't feel like it. It felt like I was pulling in the parking lot today, Mac, and I was like, man, we were just here 2 days ago. It doesn't seem like it.
There's nobody in the parking lot today.
Are they still all off over there,
Jim? Yeah, they're off for another week or so, I think.
What?
Yeah, The Rock kind of took a back-end vacation this year.
What are we doing wrong?
Yeah, jeez.
They weren't here Monday. There was nobody here but me and Mac on Monday. That was it. And then Briscoe. At 9,
Briscoe
and the boss was here. Pro Bowl selections are out.
They just came out this morning. Huh? This is hot off the presses.
Very hot off the presses.
We don't get much breaking news in this time slot, so this is exciting for us.
So your AFC quarterbacks, no argument. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, right?
Where's Mahomes?
He'll be in New Orleans.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So hopefully. And then your NFC is Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Jaden Daniels. Where is Baker Mayfield?
That's crazy. He'll eventually be there too because Goff will opt out or somebody will opt out, right?
That's true.
Baker
That's
will
fair.
Make it in, you know.
Yeah, because one of those three quarterbacks is going to the Super Bowl.
You'd assume Jordan Love's be the other one. Jalen Hurts, you know, those two guys.
Love ain't going to make it.
Jordan Love gets hurt because he was hurt for a couple of games this year, you know, and they didn't really miss a beat.
And they stopped throwing the football because he was making mistakes.
Yeah.
So they're like, why don't we just give it to this running back who's proven in Josh Jacobs and then that'll develop the throw.
Yeah.
And then when Jordan Love needed a throw, he couldn't get it done against Minnesota either way. It wasn't a terrible game. It just wasn't a good game. It wasn't a game where you could go to your quarterback and be like, hey, go win this.
No, he played one good quarter.
Yeah, exactly. And then the big one in Kansas City that snubbed, no Trent McDuffie.
No McDuffie. You got Marlon Humphrey, Derek Stingley, Pat Surtain, and Denzel Ward. Those are your four corners in the AFC. It's good players.
Yeah.
Those are great players.
But here's where I believe, anyway, that stats get in the way because people are voting in this. They're looking at interceptions or whatnot.
Yes.
Trent McDuffie doesn't get any interceptions because nobody throws the football to Trent McDuffie's side of the field. Like, I know it's the Pro Bowl and the All-Pro is the big one, but there are obvious bonuses involved in people's contracts when you make it to the Pro Bowl. But I think Trent McDuffie has played maybe his best season yet here in Kansas City. I mean, he's had to step up and be the true number one out there. How many dudes on the other side have we rolled through?
Yeah.
Right. Really right. How many dudes on the other side have we rolled through this season at the cornerback position?
Steve Nelson, but he's back, but haven't heard from him.
Who's played more, him or Josh Uche?
Dude.
And then you had Charvarius Ward.
No, I mean just this year alone. How many people have played the other cornerback position because of injury or whatnot? And Trent McDuffie has still gone out there and is still dominated. And I'll be honest with you guys, and you probably got a better memory than I do. When was the last time you saw Trent McDuffie, if ever, embarrassed on a play? In his entire time here in Kansas City, when was the time where you saw, like, the Jason Sehorn where his pants fell down? Like, you have never seen Trent McDuffie embarrassed. Hell, I can't even recall seeing Trent McDuffie beat on a play. So, if they don't want to give him the Pro Bowl, fine. No big deal. Collect another ring. Be an All-Pro. Cash a big time check, get a big time contract, and you're good to go. But I mean, Trent McDuffie, man, that guy has played one hell of a season.
Yeah, Creed Humphrey makes it. Joe Tooney makes it. Travis Kelce makes it. Trey Smith makes it as well. Your wide receivers in the AFC, Jamar Chase, Nico Collins, Zay Flowers, Jerry Jeudy. I bring up that because Zay Flowers is the first Ravens player to make the Pro Bowl in their 29-year history.
First wide receiver, you mean?
For the Ravens, yeah. First wide receiver for the Ravens franchise, I mean, to make a Pro Bowl.
Who else would have been on that list back in the day?
Steve Smith got there too late.
Too late.
Yeah. Vaughn Bolden was there too late.
Bolden was too late.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, Schefter, of course, so annoying. So, Jamison Hensley, somebody who works for Baltimore, says, Zay Flowers is the first Ravens player to make the Pro Bowl as a wide receiver in the team's 29-year history.
Wow.
Schefter quote tweets and says, history.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, bro.
A simple retweets, you know, just fine.
No, you can't
going
do that.
Full
you,
Cody Tapp.
Yeah, you gotta
history's literally in the tweet.
The first Raven wide receiver in 29 years history has made the Pro Bowl. History. Thank you, ball washer. Yes. We understand, Mr.
Thanks,
Chase.
Adam.
Thank you.
Thanks,
God. Adam. I mean, does that guy ever turn it off?
God.
I remember having sex one time and breaking a story that some guy you never heard of signed with the Patriots.
I'm just so
good for you.
I'm so impressed that this defense is what it is. They have one representative, and it's the obvious.
So it's
Chris
say.
Jones. Yeah,
that's it.
Right. Yeah. No Justin Reed. No Nick Bolton.
No Nick Bolton.
No Trent McDuffie. You know, like it's crazy to think about. But I'm also more impressed with how like the entire interior of the offensive line made the Pro Bowl. Tooney, Smith, and Creed.
And
how good have those guys been this year to make up for what has been so poor on those tackle positions? Like, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I think we're starting to realize how bad those tackles truly have been this year. And I'm a Juwan Taylor apologist. Mm-hmm. I know you are as well, Mac. You like Juwan Taylor.
Yes.
He stunk this year.
He has.
There's been no left tackle of which to speak until Joe Tooney bounced outside and is playing this position. Like, I think it just goes to show you how bad these tackles have been. And once they move Tooney outside and put Caliendo inside, they've solidified that offensive line. And now you have an opportunity to really show everybody what this offense is about. Like the rest of the league should be looking at the Chiefs and going, they figured it out again. We thought we could expose them. We figured it out again.
Yeah, their eight alternates are McDuffie, Bolton, Mahomes, Carson Steele.
Carloftis. Carson Steele's an alternate in the Pro Bowl?
I would assume for fullback. Carloftis, okay. Ariza, Chenal, and Butker are all your alternates.
Butker's a alternate.
That's right.
Who made the Pro Bowl?
Justin Tucker. I'm joking.
I was setting you up to say Justin Tucker. He didn't make it. No, okay.
I don't know. I mean, I can.
It's Chris Boswell.
Makes sense.
Best kicker in the league this year.
Yeah, he's been good.
That's
fair.
Yeah.
You win.
Yep, that's fair.
You could have an argument that he's their most important player.
He's been their MVP.
I mean, literally.
How many games have they won because of him?
At least three. He's won like special teams player of the year or of the week like twice or three times this year. And Tomlin's pissed about it. He's like, I love the guy, but damn, we got to really like, You know, we gotta get some other award than this every week.
He's hating on Russell Wilson now too, so it's going well in Pittsburgh.
Junior varsity is what he called it.
Yeah, stop turning the ball over. He calls Russell out. Stop protect the football.
Yeah, no Pro Bowlers on offense for Pittsburgh. Three on defense, and then Chris Boswell for the special teams.
Yeah, because what? There is it Patrick Queen, T.J. Watt, and then...
No, it's T.J., it's Cameron Hayward, who's above Chris Jones. So what a great season. Old defensive lineman at 33 or 34 still producing. Then Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he's been around forever, too.
Yeah, Minka?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he's been around forever.
I feel like 5 years. Didn't we want to trade for him years ago?
It was a couple years back.
Right? Yeah, I guess that was a couple years back.
Because he went from Pittsburgh. No, he went Miami to Pittsburgh, right? And when he went from Miami to Pittsburgh, that's when everybody wanted him. But the Pittsburgh Steelers were able to offer like a 15th overall pick versus 32. So they went with that one. You know? But I feel like he's a guy that we've always wanted. And we'll get him in like 3 years.
Exactly. We'll get him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which receiver side would you have? The NFC or the AFC?
Ooh, okay. What's this?
The NFC is Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Terry McLaurin, Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then the AFC is Ja'Marr Chase, Nico Collins, Zay Flowers, Jerry Jeudy.
I'm going NFC.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, NFC.
Yeah.
So you'd rather have Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson.
Because we did this the other day, and I was really cooking people with thought processes. I was like, who would you rather have, Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson? Everyone's kind of like, ugh.
No, to me, it's Justin Jefferson because Ja'Marr Chase causes issues that I don't need. You know, he's just causing issues.
Because he's about to win the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
And the last time that happened was Cooper Kupp, and everybody like stopped the world for it. Mm-hmm. Ja'Marr Chase does it. It's like, eh.
Yeah.
I thought about it, and we brought that up.
Yeah.
Good winning. Team for Cooper Kupp, but also I thought about it because I was thinking about that. Like, why was that? Because winning isn't enough. Cooper Kupp was 28 years old and had not even 1,000 yards the season before, so it was also like, what? Cooper Kupp is this guy? Where we know Ja'Marr Chase is elite.
Was that the first year with Stafford?
Yes.
Yeah, because everyone like started bringing up the story about how they ate breakfast every day together, and they were like best friends, and it obviously played out on the field.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean,
you start to wonder about the Bengals, like, you know, with all that talent, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the quarterback who people are talking about for an MVP, wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase is going to win the Triple Crown, but they're not a playoff team right now and probably won't be a playoff team and will finish basically a 500 team. A team with all that talent and they don't achieve success, you have to start questioning, kind of like Pat McAfee did with the Colts, what's going on inside that building? Is it a coaching thing, or is Ja'Marr Chase just so upset over the lack of a contract or what, you know, whatever the case may be? Like, why is that team not achieving the success of the talent that is around them? Because for the last 5 years, we've heard this defensive coordinator, Lou Ferrigno, is supposed to be the greatest of all time and whatnot. Like all these things, for whatever reason, they're not adding up. And Ja'Marr Chase seems to be the guy who's the squeaky wheel that always needs to get the grease. I'm like, just give me Justin Jefferson in these situations. Just give me the team guy. And I feel like Justin Jefferson is that guy.
Schefter just tweeted, Jefferson still is that guy. Just kidding. He didn't say that. It would have been great if he did. This also out. Boy, would this be great. Before we get to Nate Taylor, the Las Vegas Raiders have the second best odds to acquire future Hall of Fame quarterback Peter Baelish.
What does that mean? The second, like, people just make that.
Would that not be the
up,
story
right?
of the year next year if he goes to Vegas and then Davante Adams goes back to Vegas?
That'd be great.
Just to go 6-12 or whatever the hell it would be.
Yeah.
Either way, let's get to Nate Taylor.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
It is Nate Taylor time, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. All right, Nate, how come you didn't vote Baker Mayfield to make the Pro Bowl? You're a jerk.
I'm sorry, say that one?
I'm just kidding. I was joking. I said, how come you didn't vote Baker Mayfield to make the Pro Bowl? You're a jerk for not letting him get in. Come on, we know it's guys like you that vote for this and put everybody in. Man, he was ready to fight.
Yeah, he really was. Like, Nate's the nicest guy in the world. He's like, excuse me? What did you just say
did
to
you
me,
just
Rusty?
Call me a jerk?
No. I just wanted to make sure I was hearing everything correct. I don't have a Pro Bowl vote. I care more about the All-Pro honor. which is something I can't contribute to, along with rookie of the year type stuff. But I just saw the email. Cool. Sweet. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Baker Mayfield's been playing excellent. I have no issues with everybody complaining about, I guess, the snubs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new year, but obviously we don't have to change guys. Like, right. we'll find something to complain about.
Of course.
What would we do? What would we do? I mean, gosh, yeah. Trent McDuffie got snubbed from the Pro Bowl. I personally think that he's having his best season as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. We were kind of talking before you came on. How many dudes on the other side have been, used in the other cornerback positions just this year? And Trent McDuffie still goes out there and holds his opponents to like no yards.
Right. And here's to add something to that too. Right. I don't know if you guys mentioned this earlier. I didn't see Trent yesterday in the locker room, but something that has been on my mind is he is one of the Chiefs' Iron Man. Right? Like, he has played every snap possible until about, 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of the Christmas Day game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had been on the field as much as, Trey Smith, right? That's how important Trent McDuffie has been to the defense alongside Chris Jones, of course, who's played the most snaps percentage-wise ever in his career, obviously before the calf injury. So, yeah, I mean, you include the interceptions now, the fact that, he had only given up, I think, one or two touchdowns all season, in coverage, tells you that Trent McDuffie is one of the best corners of the league, even though, he might not be as big of a household name as he should be, considering the amount of skills he has. And the idea, too, that, all of a sudden he's become this, turnover merchant in the last, month or so.
Yeah, and I think that ultimately kind of hurts his perception around the league. People open the stat page and they look at the numbers. It doesn't give you the correct picture of what Trent McDuffie has been in his entire career. Like, the guy's going to get paid. He's one of the best in the NFL, and I don't know where we'd be without Trent McDuffie.
Right, and
sorry, Brett, I'm ruining your bargaining standpoint here, but that's okay.
No. He knows. Believe me.
Oh, no. He knows. Yeah.
They really didn't have any levers with, by the way, they had no levers with Creed Humphrey. It's like, hey, we drafted you in the second round and you've been excellent. So please sign now. Just let's get this done with before you even get close to free agency. I'm assuming the same will happen with Trent McDuffie. Because there is an argument, and you have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that, technically, even though he gets a lot of credit for the scouting of Patrick Mahomes, Brett Veach was not the general manager when Patrick Mahomes was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, right? When they traded up from 27 to 10 with the Buffalo Bills to take Mahomes. Since Brett Veach has been the general manager, his first draft was 2018, Trent McDuffie's been the best draft pick ever that he's had. It's a slam dunk. This is also coming off the heels of the Tyreek Hill trade when, by the way, they didn't have a cornerback of his caliber, when the Chiefs were struggling in the AFC Championship game against the Bengals. That's one of the reasons why the Chiefs were comfortable trading Tyreek Hill. We have to get better on both sides of the ball, and the only way to do that is to have a more balanced roster, and in order to do that, you need more draft picks. So the fact that Trent McDuffie fell to 21, which is shocking. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, the Chiefs were able to select him, and the fact that he's been, you can argue, the best draft pick in the Brett Veach era, right? That's including, Creed Humphrey. That's including Trey Smith. I know a lot of people love Nick Bolton because he's been very durable and reliable as well. But McDuffie's been excellent. Just go back and watch last year's Super Bowl where we just put Debo Samuel in a prison for 3 hours, and no one in the league had really done that, at that point last season.
With that being what you say, Brett Veach's best pick, he's going to set the market at cornerback.
I don't know if he'll set the market at cornerback, but he'll be pretty up there.
He's getting paid by the Chiefs. He seems like that guy that the Chiefs hold on to for like a career, like a Chris Jones, like a Kelsey, yes. like a Mahomes type of player. Yes. Like this guy's not going anywhere in any other jersey.
Yes, that is the belief right now. Again, mm-hmm. I guess some things could change. Because he's a first-round pick, too, you also have the fifth-year option. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel like the negotiations are going great after year four, basically, you know, which is something the Chiefs don't normally have with, you know, their draft picks, right? They're usually taking people, obviously, in the second round or the very last pick of the first round. You know, the same could go for, like, George Karloftis, right? I think George Karloftis is someone that they understand that they need to secure, you know, his second contract as well. That's why I get so tricky with Trey Smith, because you're coming off the heels of, well, what do you do about Nick Bolton? What do you do about George Karloftis? What do you do about Trent McDuffie? You know, there's a chance, I think, growing larger than not, that Trey Smith is probably in a uniform elsewhere mm-hmm. in the NFL next season, just because of the dynamics of the roster construction. And the idea that, like, Trey Smith is playing as good a football as he ever has in his NFL career, which means he should definitely set the market if he gets to the market. And I don't necessarily foresee the Chiefs, you know, franchise tagging him. I guess they could, but that would sort of, you know, elongate their issues when, again, they have other guys that they've drafted pretty well coming behind him. And, again, on both sides of the ball, how do you sort of – ensure that you're going to be competitive in 2026 and beyond. One of the salary cap casualties, as much as you may dislike it, might be Trey Smith, because a team, once he gets to free agency, can give him the highest paid, you know, salary for a guard in the league.
Yeah, and he deserves every penny that he's going to get. Again, he should have been mm-hmm. a first-round pick, so he's kind of making up for lost time and money, and
yeah.
he's got a fistful of rings already, so I can't say, right. hey, the next goal is to get paid, right, Nate? You know?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, when you think back to that draft for Trey Smith, it really, I mean, it kind of makes sense, but it kind of doesn't, because he had already proven the year prior that, hey, if as long as you provide the right resources and as long as your, like, medical and training staff, like, care about the player, he should be pretty good in terms of, like, not having issues medically, you know, with you know, the possibility of, like, blood clots and things of that nature. So he was an All-American. You know, he was one of the best, highest recruited players in high school. You know, he dominated at Tennessee. And so for him to fall to the sixth round is utterly preposterous when you look at it from a big picture standpoint. But at the same time, too, yeah, you have to advise Trey Smith that, like, hey, as much as it's great to, like, play alongside Patrick Mahomes and your best friend is, like, Creed Humphrey, hey, man, you should be making, like, so much more money compared to, like, a lot of your peers. And it's just unfortunate that even though it was a benefit for the Chiefs that they got you in the sixth round, it's time to maximize your earning potential. And there's no greater time than this upcoming spring.
Speaking of no greater time to maximize your money situation, Carson Wentz, my guy. Carson Wentz going to play on on Sunday at 3:25. And as Andy Reid said, he should be playing for a lot of other teams in the NFL. Big game for number 11 this Sunday at 3:25.
It is, and I'm pretty intrigued as to what we're going to see from Carson Wentz, because there's a number of people in the organization, fellas, I think that, like, Carson Wentz can go out there and win on Sunday, whether that's, you know, just throwing the ball to Nico Remigio a bunch of times, Peyton Hendershot, you know, I don't know, like, I don't, you know, Andy said McColl is probably not coming back. He'll probably be returning for the postseason run. But yeah, like, you know, maybe you get a couple series with, like, Hollywood Brown, you know, DeAndre Hopkins has incentives. So I don't know necessarily who he's going to be throwing the ball to, but he is still their most athletic backup in the Mahomes era. He's had the whole year to learn the system. I think that's been one of the bigger benefits to him, is that, you know, thankfully Mahomes didn't get hurt in, like, October, where you only have, like, just, like, a month to really work with the coaching staff and really understand what they're trying to get out of you. This should be pretty fun. And in terms of money and, again, trying to make yourself marketable. You know, I think we also have to understand this too. It's like the Raiders chose Gardner Minshew over calling Carson Wentz as their starting quarterback this year. Jacoby Brissett started multiple games this season, kids. So in terms of markability, if you have a great performance, whether the Chiefs win or not, or they keep the game close against the Broncos, against their starters, the Broncos are one of the best defenses in the league. So if you go out there with, like, largely the Chiefs' backups, and you perform really well, you don't turn the ball over, you don't have, like, penalties, you obviously make wise decisions, you use your mobility to gain a couple first downs, you stand in the pocket and you deliver on time, even though, you know, you might get hit because it's, again, a makeshift offensive line with backups, that can go a long way of trying to convince somebody that, like, hey, even if you draft a quarterback high in the first round, we're looking at you, the New York Giants, maybe you should also sign Carson Wentz as like a bridge gap quarterback, kind of to like what the Minnesota Vikings have done with Sam Darnold. I know Sam Darnold's younger than Carson Wentz, but you have to think about it in that context where he can be a serviceable quarterback in this league. And if the Chiefs believe that after giving him a year to like learn Andy Reid's system, if he goes out and he shows it, and let's say like the Miami Dolphins get into the playoffs, Carson Wentz will have made money, and that'll be a great way for him to sort of reestablish himself in his career within the NFL circles, because there's not a lot of great options for backup quarterbacks, let alone trying to find 32 capable starters.
We got about 2 weeks before the next meaningful football game for the Chiefs takes place. Who do you think it's going to be in that divisional round?
Chargers.
Oh, that's a good guess. I was going to say Chargers, or I know this might surprise people. Mike Tomlin's under more of a hot seat than people realize. I truly believe that. So if this plays out the way it should, right, let's say it's 5-4 between the Pittsburgh Steelers and really a decimated, dragging to the finish line even more Houston Texans team, then I think because Mike Tomlin has not won a postseason game in what, like, the last 5 or 6 opportunities the Steelers have been in the postseason, he needs a postseason win just to, like, calm some of the nonsense going around to him because he's still an excellent coach.
Mm-hmm.
They just, too, have not had, like, the best draft classes. I think more than likely you're probably comfortable welcoming the Pittsburgh Steelers to Arrowhead Stadium with the understanding that, like, the reason you want to get the one seed is because, hey, you're either getting a very watered down version of the Texans or you're getting Russell Wilson and a team that you dominated on Christmas Day coming into your house. And I'm not sure you want to see the Chargers because that team has only gotten better throughout the course of the season. And playing Jim Harbaugh 3 times in a single season is not ideal, even though I don't think the Chargers have quite the same horses as the Chiefs. It just wouldn't be fun. It would just be very annoying, that makes sense. So you should be rooting for either the Texans to somehow like win alongside the Bills and the Ravens. We assume the Ravens will win on Saturday to clinch the NFC North. And if that happens, hey, you should be rooting. I really want to see Bills-Ravens. Like, I think Chiefs fans should be eager and should be excited to see that game because that could be one of the best games of the season in terms of the postseason. So if that happens, then, yeah, you're going to get a version of either a Texans team that has had kind of a disappointing end to their season or Mike Tomlin doing what is absolutely necessary to keep his job in Pittsburgh, which is win a playoff game, get to the divisional round, and then, you know, pretty much everybody will consistently say in the league, hey, that was a great season. You got the most out of Russell Wilson when Russell Wilson was kind of left for dead, in terms of his perception in the league as a starting quarterback. And, hey, you know, like, nice golf clap. You made it to the divisional round. Get out of here so we can watch Chiefs versus Ravens or Chiefs versus Bills.
That's why we need to reseed in the playoffs in the NFL. But I'll do that another day when I'm not so much hated. I promise that should be a topic, at least in the future, because that'd be sad if Buffalo just got to play like Pittsburgh and then we had to play the Chargers and they went 15-1. Either way, Nate, have a good rest of your year. Enjoy that game in Denver. They're 10.5.
Are you going to get back from Denver?
Yeah, there's snow coming, man.
I keep seeing the forecast, fellas.
Do you book an extra night?
I'm praying. I might have to. Who knows? when the schedule comes out, I'm always thinking like, kind of like last year, like, please let it be Los Angeles for like week 18 if we have to travel. When I saw that it was Denver, I was like, well, at least it's not Buffalo, but it's also Denver. Thanks, NFL.
Could be a worse city though. Denver's actually kind of fun.
Yeah, you have fun. Oh, I think you could be stuck in, you know,
Cincinnati.
Topeka, you know.
I could be stuck in Kentucky. That is very true.
No doubt about it. Well, hey man, have a good new year, man, and hopefully we can all get together in New Orleans if it does go that way. So we will talk to you next week and take care, my man.
Yes, thank you guys. Happy New Year.
You too.
Happy New Year.
Nate Taylor there, brought to you by, or presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Coming up on the other side, we have a playoff idea that Bob wants to throw your way. We'll get to it on the other side of 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. We've almost made it. It's almost playoff football. Bob's gone. He just took off. He's like, it's Thursday, Friday.
Not as fun as I remember. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. He's gone. So are you fine with the playoff stance?
I could feel you about to ask me this question. I am. I love, first off, the way they used to have it, six teams, the whole seeding. That was perfect. NFL football, the system was perfect, and they've already kind of effed it up a little bit. But yes, what they have now, the division winners get the home game and the bye and all those things. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay, yeah.
I'm a fan with it. We very rarely have issues that you're seeing this year.
I am confused. I need to admit that I'm wrong about something. I don't know what I was wrong about, but I need to admit something here. From the 816. Come on, man. You took off the last 2 weeks while I was working on it, by the way, and then come back today and try to put your name on it. You broke two big-time life rules. One, don't take credit for someone else's work, and two, don't F with someone who is smarter than you. I called you on it. Sorry if you're mad, but move on. Did I do something wrong?
What is that in relation to? That's got to be a missed text.
Maybe not. I don't know if I said. I don't know.
Somebody's that upset, man.
I don't know. Please let me know. This is serious face right here. Like I don't know what I did. I apologize.
If you're that angry on January 2nd, man, I feel bad for you.
Yeah,
over sports.
816. I'm just trying to figure that out there.
No, my whole playoff take.
I had 2 weeks off. I didn't have 2 weeks off.
Yeah, I mean, I did, but, you know, not even. Didn't. But, no, I didn't have 2 weeks off. You're right. Screw off.
I'm just trying to.
I mean, sorry.
Was it something?
I don't care. I just don't.
Okay.
You know, you're going to get mad at somebody for...
I just want to make sure. I just want to give you credit because I don't want to be a hypocriticizer myself.
I mean, I'm trying to think about what take you may have stolen or whatever.
Reseeding in the playoffs?
Everybody's talked about reseeding over the years, right? Like people have discussed that. And the NFL does...
Don't F with someone who is smarter than you.
The NFL does reseed. I mean, they you know, it's not like it's bracket format. So if the Chiefs win or the Chiefs have the bye, but if 7 beats 2, then we get 7 coming to Kansas City, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. The NFL does reseed. They just give their division winners, you know, that playoff berth. But I was thinking about this yesterday, the category of this is the team we don't want anybody to play right now. Like you hear that all the time, right? Like the Bengals are the team that nobody wants to see in the playoffs. Then why don't we put the Bengals in as the 7th seed in the playoffs? How about the top 6 make it like have always been, and the wild card for that 7th team gets voted on by the fans? The NFL will select 3 teams after Sunday's games that should be that 7th seed in each, the AFC and the NFC, and then let's have fans vote and get in, because I am so over that everybody needs a fair opportunity and a fair shot, and it's not fair and all of this nonsense. And boy, the Bengals got off to a slow start. You didn't win enough games. So let's do that. Let's put all these teams into, you know, at the end of the year, into 3 in the AFC and 3 in the NFC picked by the NFL, and let the fans vote who should be that 7th team in there, because it's all we talk about. We talk about all of these teams that are on the outside looking in and who we wouldn't want to face in the playoffs. instead of focusing on the teams that have accomplished things over the course of the regular season, wouldn't want to face the Bengals. Maybe the Bengals should have taken care of business and not left it up to week 17 to find a way into
if
the playoffs.
If they'd have beat New England in week one, we're not here.
Right.
And that game was in Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati.
And then we're going to lose two more.
Yes.
Because the second week, we know their wide receiver would lose his cool, causing a huge penalty.
Right.
Just saying.
Right, right. Did they lose to the Giants, too? I mean, like...
No. They beat the Giants.
They beat the Giants.
Okay. Yeah. It was a close game, though.
It was, right?
Yes. Yeah. They would have lost if Drew Locke was the quarterback.
The Bengals have had some losses on their schedule. Like, I am so over the who do we not want to see in the playoffs. And then you talk about, like, the Bengals and the Colts. Like, come on.
Is the Bengals' best win of the year this past week?
Has to be.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
The only team they've beaten over 500.
Yeah.
Six of the eight teams they've beaten have top 10 draft picks this year.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
it's not a good football team.
No,
it's just not.
They're not.
Stop telling us the Bengals are good. So if you want the Bengals into the playoffs, then let's have a vote for that final playoff spot and let America decide on who the team is that nobody wants to face at this point of the season.
You serious, Clark?
Might as well. Why not? You serious about reseeding?
Yeah.
I'm serious about putting a 7th team and leaving it up to the fan vote. Fans would love it. They would absolutely love it.
Fans would love it.
Sunday night, the NFL releases the three teams in the AFC and the NFC. Who do you want to be the 7th team?
Yeah, so Cincinnati would win the vote outright, right?
It would be I would imagine. I mean, who would you would put Cincinnati, Denver, and Miami.
Yeah.
Because those are your last three that are playing.
Vote Omar.
Yeah. So you can stuff the ballot box and whatnot, and you, who you don't want to face or whatever.
I don't know if this idea
karma
works,
may man. Get you in that situation. But it's like the college football playoff. Like, Alabama should have been in the college football. You shouldn't have lost to Oklahoma. You shouldn't have lost to Vanderbilt. Like, I'm
well,
over
we know
the,
what's going to happen. They're going to extend the playoff picture and add a week, and then that'll be how it happens.
But from an NFL standpoint, they don't need to expand the playoffs in the NFL. I know that ultimately that's where we're headed.
Oh, it's coming.
You know, it's obviously coming because of so much money that's on the line. College football and the NFL are good where they are right now. We don't need any more expansion because there aren't right now in the AFC, 7 playoff-worthy teams.
The thing that frustrates me is...
We're rewarding average.
Yeah, I mean, somebody says, how funny it would be if the AFC voted in the Titans.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's why I'm saying the NFL submits three teams at the end of the regular season. That's Sunday night. The league will submit the three teams that we get to vote on.
Yeah, I just think that we finally hit a year because, like, this is the way the NFL works. Like, we finally hit a year where it's an anomaly, right? Like, this game Sunday night, Minnesota-Detroit, has all of our attention.
Everybody's watching it.
And especially here because you can't go outside.
You'd be like, snowed in, yeah.
You'd be just eating egg sandwiches. Poor house. And, you know, obviously that game. But then you're going to have the potential of, what, a 14-win team may never play a home game.
That's right. Yeah,
because their conference is so legit, but other ones aren't, but they get the benefits of that. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a chance the Rams could play two home games, be in the four seed.
That's exactly right.
Right.
There's absolutely that.
And there's a chance that Detroit, who did their job all year.
Right.
Right. I mean, their quarterback could be the MVP. Their coach could be coach of the year. Mm-hmm. They've got, you know, tremendous amount of talent. Did their job, except they didn't beat Minnesota, who ended up winning 15 games and getting the division, and they lost and they got 14 games, and yet they got to go on the road.
Yeah, and I would say my counterpoint is win more, because the Chiefs, as we talked about before break, Dusty, is like, we had to sweat out a 15-1 team wondering if we're going to get a home playoff game and have a bye at 15-1.
To your point there, then beat Buffalo in the regular season.
Right, exactly. No, you're 100% right. You got to take care of the business when you can, and the Chiefs did. They took care of business in one of the toughest divisions. They won all of their games. They beat playoff teams all year long. They're getting rewarded for all of that. They took care of their business, saved the Buffalo game. But you're right. Like, if you didn't want to sweat it out on Christmas, go undefeated. Go 16-0. Take care of everything, you know, that's in front of you. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. But when was the last time we saw two teams in the same division at 14 or 15 wins? I mean, that's got to be an anomaly, right? Like a serious NFL anomaly. The last time we saw two teams this good in the same division in the same year.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we're headed, which is why I think you have to start thinking of this. Cause like, I don't know. Like, what if the Chargers were,
wait, what's where we're headed?
Like, teams are going to win more games because the talent's getting better, I think.
Like, I think that you're going to start seeing more. What's going on this year? We just talked about money. There's 11 teams. Was it 11? 11 teams that have 10 or more wins.
Mm-hmm. But you also have that 17th game. So that skews everything.
Which also gives the opportunity for more wins.
No, that's what I'm saying. Gives the opportunity for more wins. Yeah. Like, if you just had 16 games, there's a lot of 8-8, a lot of 9-7s. There's not a lot of 10-win teams. But now that you've, like, that 17th game, man, that changes everything. It affected the whole Chiefs season.
Especially if you can reseed, then teams don't miss out on that game and pack it away. It's like, well, if we don't win this game, this team could actually have a better record. Even though we win our division, they would have a better record and they would get a home game.
In order to make Week 17 more meaningful, I don't hate that idea at all. But I just know where the NFL is. For whatever reason, we talked about it with Ben Maller, they have valued this division thing more than baseball even has, and baseball values anything that happened 100 years ago, you know? So the NFL, I don't think, is ever going to change that. But that 17th game has changed the league drastically. It's just not one more game. If you look at this board that you put up here with all the wins and losses, mm-hmm. like, if it's a 16-game schedule, they win that game on November 30th, 19-17 over the Raiders. They've clinched the one seed by that point in time. But this 17th game has added so much more to the regular season, to everything, that just one game has changed the entire dynamic of the way we look at the NFL right now. So you said, 11 teams with 10 or more wins. How many of those wins would not be there? How many of those teams would not have 10 or more wins had we been still in a 16-game season? So you've got to kind of talk through of how we're looking at things right now, because I do think that 17th game has changed this league in dramatic fashion.
So it's almost like winning your division is more important than getting the one seed. Because at least you're guaranteed a home win, a home game. But, and then you can leave it all up to fate to see if, like, maybe you, like, when the Chiefs were a two seed and somebody gets knocked out, then they get the home game.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you get the bye, but everyone's taking the bye in week 18. Mm-hmm. So there's your bye. You win your division, guaranteed a home game, and then you could possibly play another team at home because you may not have the number one seed. It may not matter.
It may not matter, but I think ultimately now with just the bye being that one team, that adds so much more to it as well. Had there still been two, like, if they go to an 8-team playoff, and for whatever reason, still give the first two teams buys, it will take the value of the regular season
also
down.
Also, the Chiefs and get a one seed.
Because the Chiefs could have sat their players in week 11 had they known they were definitely, you know.
But also, you could be the Chiefs and have the one seed and play the Chargers in week two in the second round.
Yeah.
Whereas Buffalo, who did not get the number one seed, did not get the bye, gets to play the winner of Houston and Pittsburgh.
But Buffalo will also have to play that other game. You're assuming they're going to beat whoever that seven seed
Denver.
Is. What? Yeah, it could be.
Denver.
But what if Buffalo loses that game, you know?
Well, then we're getting into the what is. But I'm just saying, like, Buffalo would then have what I would consider an easier track to the Super Bowl than the Kansas City Chiefs, who did everything right. But just because of where the seeding is, that's how they get to match
up. So you're basing it based on the teams, not on the number next to the team. Because, you know, you make the argument the Chiefs have off. Buffalo plays the seven seed. The 4-5 winner then... If two wins, and obviously,
right.
you know, so
like if the Chargers beat Baltimore
right.
and they upset them, then the next in Buffalo takes care of Denver. Mm-hmm. The next highest seed is who the Chiefs would play, which would be the Chargers in the sixth seed.
But are the Chargers the sixth seed?
Yes.
Okay. What if the Chargers lose and the three
then
seed?
Then obviously
wins,
it's irrelevant. But right. if the Chargers, that's what I'm saying, where we're at. Because then
are we overvaluing the Chargers though?
No.
Okay.
Because it's the Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
And they between the two
and
brothers.
And they have a good defense that could That's stop fair. That Baltimore offense.
I still think Baltimore will be favored by 6.5.
I think that's high. I think it's going to be about 4.5.
I think, maybe a couple points higher. I don't know. It'll be
Charger defense against that Baltimore offense is a bad matchup. Denver will get beat by Buffalo. I don't know what's going to happen in Houston and Pittsburgh. That game is irrelevant for that reason, because both those teams are on like the last leg of just getting there.
So you're really rooting for the underdog to win that game. You're rooting for the 5 seed to win that game.
Yes.
And you're rooting for Baltimore to win.
Right.
Because then they go beat each other up in Buffalo, and then Kansas City gets to play Houston, Pittsburgh, and walk into the AFC championship game, which is how it should be. Mm-hmm. But we all know that's not the case because somebody's losing.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not a big believer
and
in the Chargers yet.
And even if it's Denver that beats Buffalo and the Ravens beat the Chargers, then you've got to play Denver, which we know that matchup's not great for the Chiefs because of their D-line. It was just good against them. And then all of a sudden, Baltimore gets to play Houston or Pittsburgh again and gets to walk their way through.
But again, I mean, we thought, you know, who was it a couple of years ago that was going to walk their way through? Oh, the Baltimore Ravens. Like, we already had flights booked to Baltimore for the AFC Championship game. That never happened, right? Like, you see stuff
Tennessee
like this.
Yep.
Tennessee beats them. Sometimes these smaller seeds win. But, you know, people will look back at that Chiefs-Chargers game and go, oh, they won by a doink. But since that game, They've done nothing but dominate. Since they made that change on the offensive line and bounced Tooney out, they've done nothing but dominate. I mean, you seriously look at the last three games, guys. That's three games, four quarters apiece. That's 12 quarters. They have dominated those last 12 quarters.
Yeah, they've outscored their opponents 77-36.
They played amazing football over the last couple of games. And so, quite frankly, I don't care who we play. We're playing our best football right now. Let's go.
Coming up on the other side, we'll have the Goldilocks for the future of what is a, well, meaningless game, but we can also create your 2025 sports script. What do you predict for the upcoming year? Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.